If you have your Bible, want to turn with us this morning. I hope you got one, copy of God's Word. Matthew chapter 22. I want to read a text and then I want to look at a couple of different directions and got kind of peculiar this morning, but it's all right. I like to throw the devil a curve every now and then. Man, he gets, sometimes we get so complacent, we get in such a routine, the devil knows where to hit us at to sidetrack us, but I'm glad, praise the Lord, sometimes we can just throw the devil a curve. And boy, I tell you, I appreciate God's ability that he gives us just to be a help. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 22, in verse number 37, Matthew 22 and verse number 37. And Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and a great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. I want to preach this morning, God be our help, for just a few minutes on this thought, critical race theory. The critical race theory. It's something that's been brought up and it's being more prominent now than it ever was. And as we see this begin to take place, we have to realize that this isn't something that's new. This is something that's been around for a while. It's been propagated in different parts of the world and in the United States for quite some time. A critical race theory, listen, is it just something that wants to divide us by race? She said, preacher, I thought we got away from that. I thought we had too. But we're living in a day, in an era when people's wanting to divide us. If they can divide us, then they can conquer us. That's what the devil would like to do. That's what he'd like to do to the church. That's what he'd like to do to all folks, is divide us and spread us apart and cause us to have hard feelings towards one another so that he can come in as the devil does. He's walking to and fro in this world, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. And if we push people away and we have hard feelings towards people, amen, God, it just gives the devil a workshop. But we see this critical theory that began, and it began in Frankfurt, Germany in the 1920s and 1930s, and we see these people that were doing that, and in 1934 they left Germany and they come to the United States. They come to a place that was called the Columbia University Teachers College. And they come to the United States to flee the Nazis. Amen. Kind of ironic, wasn't it? They bring their teaching, their propaganda to the United States to get away from Nazis, to come teach a socialism in a country. Amen. It's built on a foundation of our Christianity. Amen. But what they would like to do is destroy that. So we see man's opinions that's being propaganded in the world today. Now they're trying to instill it upon us and push it upon us. But praise God, I think what we need today to be thinking upon and pushed upon us is the precious Word of God. That'll touch our hearts and help us to overcome the radicals that's in this world. Ones that like to destroy and tear down. Amen. And the way that they do it, they have a propaganda with a critical race theory. They have three ideals that they propagate at us. The number one is there is no absolute truth. Amen. If they can teach us that there's no absolute truth, then we don't know that they're trying to get us to disbelieve our Bible. You say, well, preacher, I believe the Bible. I believe there is absolute truth. But they're propagated to our children that there is no absolute truth. They're teaching in our school system that 2 + 2 don't equal 4. Man, what does 2 + 2 equal? It equals 4. But they're saying because 2 + 2, and you got that little plus in the middle, that things will separate. So 2 + 2 just equals 2. Amen? So that there is no absolute truth. And so when you stand on the truth of the Word of God, they say, well, you can't do that because there's no absolute in it. But I want to say there's an absolute Savior that come to bleed and die for the sins of the world. A Savior that come from glory, was born of a virgin, lived, praise God, a life, and died for our sins on the cross of Calvary. But praise God, he didn't stay dead. On the third day, he got up victorious over death and the grave. I'm glad he did it because he did it for you and he did it for me. And I thank him for that. Not only is no absolute truth, amen. He said there's just a competing narrative that goes on, in other words. Your narrative, our narrative, it doesn't really matter. But there is no absolute truth. And it teaches that individuals are either oppressors or victims. They try to give everybody a victim mentality. That everybody's out to get you. Amen. Ain't that the way the devil works today? He said, nobody cares about you. And they're propagating this on our children today. They said, nobody really cares about you. You can't trust you. You can't trust the teacher. You can't trust mama. You can't trust daddy. You can't trust anybody. That you're your own person. You just need, the only one that you need to trust is you. And when they put that in their mind, praise God, it takes their mind and their thinking away from the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to say our priority, I've said it many, many times, our priority is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You say, well, preacher, our priorities, there is no such thing as priorities. Amen. Do you hear what I said? There is no such thing as priorities. We have a priority or we don't. And our priority has to be the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Then everything else falls in place because of Him. When we put our faith and trust in Him. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness to all these things, food, housing, clothes, everything you need will be and shall be added unto you. Amen. Amen. You got needs, you got a call, praise God, look at the Lord Jesus Christ. Seek His righteousness, what's right in the eyes of God. Where they turn from it, they turn to, they call us oppressors. You're either an oppressor or a victim. Amen. Praise God. I want to say, praise God, wait, listen. Hey, we don't have to be either one, praise God. We're just children of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Not only do they say they're individually either oppressors or victims, but America is a systemically racist. And in order to do away with that, it's got to be dismantled. It's got to be torn apart. They say, what we got to do is we just got to fix it with the help of the Lord. They say, no, that don't work. It's got to be torn apart and rebuilt. Rebuild upon what? We were established and built on the Christian Judeo faith, praise God, on faith, the God of glory, and Jesus Christ our Savior, and the Holy Spirit of God to guide us, and we've turned our back on that, and the devil's come in, had a heyday, but praise God, we need to get back to trust in the Lord in every situation. Systematic racism doesn't exist. Amen. We don't hate nobody. Amen. Who are they asking this? Amen. I tell you who they're asking. They're asking the Marxist. That's where this comes from. It comes from Marxism. It comes from communism, where people want to be in control. They want to have the elitist and the subservient. And guess where they want to classify you? Amen. You know, I don't understand that, because someday they're going to lose power. Amen. You can't be in control and in power forever. Somebody will come along and take it away from you. Amen. Praise God. Hey, listen, if I'm going to have power, I want to have power with Jesus. I want to have power in the Lord. I want power of the Holy Ghost in my life, leading me, guiding me, directing, showing me His way so I can walk therein, so I can follow in the footsteps of my Savior, so I can practice what He teaches, practice what He preached. But we see these things falling in place as we see this critical race theory as it pushed upon us. Amen. And we see the teacher. Now, teachers should not use this as goal to teach a diversity of thought as an excuse, amen, to teach their students to separate us by ethnic stereotypes. Amen. That's what they're trying to do. They say, well, you're this, so you got to be over here, and you're this. I thought we got past that. Heard this past week on the radio that there's a pastor in a big church, and he come in a couple weeks ago and he told his congregation, he said, listen, some of these black folks in the church are afraid of you white folks, so starting next week, we're going to put you black folks over here in a special section so you won't be afraid. It's happening in America. Amen. What happened to loving your brother? Praise God. Loving your neighbor. What happened to being a child of God? Amen. Pray God, loving each other. We've gone astray. So what they've started doing is classifying, CRT, it classifies people by the color of their skin and not the character of their heart. Hello? We need to start looking at people by the character of their heart. Amen. Instead of the color of their skin. And they say, well, we need it in the school so we can separate this. I won't say these little old youngins don't know it. Amen. Me, I was out there the other day, and we was talking about a little boy in her class, and somebody said, well, isn't he a little black boy? And she said, I don't know, Papa. She said, he's just a boy. Amen. They don't look at color. Amen. The only way they do that is if they're called to do that. They ought to look at the content of their heart, whether they're a good person or not. And if they're not, they need to point them to Jesus, praise God, who will change them from the inside out. The only way we're going to help America is change them from the inside out. Amen. It's critical race theory not do it. See, it looks for racism in everything. In everything. Two men can go into a store. Brother Allen, they go, two men go into a store. The store keeps got two doors. A black man come in this door, a white man come in this door, come in at the same time. And critical race theory says, if that storekeeper waits on that black man first, then he's a racist. Because he sees him as in his brightness. He sees him in color and he isolates him. He says, I better deal with him first before he causes a coincidence, before he tries to steal something. And if he waits on the white person first, they're going to say, that fella's white. And so he's a racist. He's showing white supremacy. I mean, he's serving this white guy first because the other guy's black. They look for it. Hey, they're going to find it. And it's critical racism. In other words, they're going to critique it until they find it. Amen. They're going to look till they find it. So what happened, praise God, to looking at the character of the person instead of the color of the skin? You know what critical racism? It's self-destructive. It's anti-American. It's hatred for America. It's hatred for what we stand on. It's hatred for what God says. Amen. It's contradictory to the Word of God in every aspect. God Almighty, but what do? We got to take a stand while we can. We got to stand up for what's right, and it's working. Amen. You say, preacher, it looks awful grim, awful doomy to me. Praise God. I won't say it's working. I'll show you in a little bit. But it's beginning to work. But we see, you say, well, preacher, what does the Lord say about this? Is critical racism biblical? I won't say critical racism is far away from the Word of God. It's not even part of it. Amen. It's absolutely 180 degrees contrary to the Word of God. Amen. Now you stay with me, praise God. It's contrary to the Word of God. Now they're trying to indoctrinate us. They've had it in the colleges. And thank God we've had some good smart people that's come through and haven't got caught up in that mess. Amen. But we had a few, praise God, that's come through that have got caught up in it. And they think everything's okay now. I won't say it's not okay if God says it's wrong. I don't care what professor such and such told you, praise God. If it's contrary to the Word of God, it's sin. It's wrong. Amen. I don't like it when you say that. People don't like it anymore when you mention sin. They think we've arrived, praise God. I guess we've evolved to where we don't sin no more. Amen. Praise God, I won't tell you we may evolve, we don't sin no more, but we ain't evolved to where we don't sin no less. Amen. Praise the Lord. Old fellow told me one time, he said, preacher, I've come to a conclusion. I said, you have? He said, yeah, I'm supposed to be a young preacher. He said, I've come to a conclusion. I don't have to repent no more. And I just sat there studying, getting ready for a message. I was going to preach in a minute. He sat there for a few minutes looking at me like a calf looking at a new fence. And he said, well, what do you think about that? I said, well, I'll tell you what I think about it. When I was a lost man, I knew I didn't realize I needed to repent. And I said, as a saved man, I'm not going to not repent, praise God, when God shows me that I've sinned. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to call upon the Lord, ask Him, forgive me of my sin, cleanse me from all my unrighteousness, according to His perfect word. So we see what we have. We have a situation where this stuff has been put in our face. It's been propagated before a world. Amen. And it's up to us whether we receive it or reject it. So what are we saying here in a nutshell? We're saying we either believe God or we believe a lie. Amen? Either we believe God, Brother Billy, or we believe a lie. I don't know about you, praise God. I'm just going to stay with God. Amen. This precious old word's never let me down, praise God. It's always been right on track. You say, well, preacher, how does it play out? Well, number one thing is when we have this critical racism, we have to realize what we talk about when we talk about race. How many races is there today? Well, you say, preacher, there's a white race and a black race and an Asian race and the Indian race and all these other countries and all these other races. I'm going to say there's one race, and it's called the human race. Amen. The Bible says it started in Genesis 1. Praise God in creation. God Almighty created. Who did He create? He created our faithful forefathers in Genesis chapter number 1 and verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowls of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. And the Lord blessed him, and God said unto him, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over fowls of the air and over every living thing that creepeth upon the earth. So what did God do? God created man and He created woman in His own image, in the likeness of God. Body, soul, and spirit, praise God, three essences of us. Amen. We have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Amen. He created us, a soul, a body, soul, and a spirit. Praise His holy name. So God created us. Amen. You say, well, how do you know? Because God created us, and Eve was our mother. She was my, Brother Judah, she was my great, 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 great grandmother. Amen. Praise the Lord. How do you know? Because the Bible says in Genesis chapter 3, verse 20, that Eve was the mother of all living. Amen. Hello? It didn't say Eve and three or four other ladies. Said Eve was the mother of every human being on earth. Praise God. So there's one creation. There's one creator, one creation. And He created us for His glory. Amen. That we might give praise unto God. That we might lift up His name. So we see it playing out. Amen. So we see how this thing comes about. We see that there's one creation. There's one race, the human race. And God put it on. And He begins this thing. And He tells us how to start out right in Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy chapter number 6, in verse number 4, He said, hear, O Lord, the Lord our God is one Lord. He said, we just have one Lord. I'm glad I ain't got three or four, ain't you? If you was part of some of these other religions around the world, you'd have hundreds and maybe even thousands of deities that you had to try to worship, and you're worried to death that you might leave one out. I'm glad I've just got one God. Amen. I got one Savior, and I've got one Spirit that lives in me, praise God, and helps me. And He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. He said, that is the very beginning of our faith. Amen. Realizing that there's one God and He is the Lord. Amen. And loving the Lord God with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our mind. That's the very beginning. You say, well, preacher, if that's the beginning, what's the ending? Well, He tells us in Leviticus chapter number 19 and verse 13. The Bible says this, Leviticus 19 and 13. He said, thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor, nor rob him, and wages of him that is hired shall not abide with thee all night into the morning. Thou shalt not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but shalt fear thy God. I am the Lord. Who said it? The Lord. Amen. He said, ye shall, verse 15, ye shall unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. But in righteous shalt thou judge thy neighbor. He said, thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. He said, thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor, and not suffer him suffer sin upon him. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. He said, praise God. He said, this is the standard which we live in, that we don't defraud nobody, but we love each other. We witness to each other. We explain to each other. And we love each other. He said, because God said, I love you. Praise God with all my heart. He said, that's the way that we are to love each other. He said, that's the very beginning. He said, that's the very ending. Praise God. He said, when we love each other, Jesus would say here in Matthew 22 and 37, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. And now that heart is the very seed of our thoughts and our feelings. He said all of our feelings and all of our thoughts ought to be toward God, because His thoughts and His thinking is towards us this morning. He loves loves us, praise God. Hey, before we even knew who He was, praise God, He loved me. Praise the Lord, before I knew to love Him, He loved me. He loved me then, and He loves me now, and He'll love me forever, praise God. He can't help it. That's just one of His, that's who He is. He just loves me, praise God. With all His, He said, we love God with all our heart, with our thoughts and our feelings. He said, with all of our soul. That's the very part that moves and helps us to have our being, our breath, praise God. He said, every fiber in us ought to love God because He first loved us. We ought to love the Lord, praise God. You know, I believe we let down God. I mean, how many times do we tell Him, ask Him, forgive us our sins, and then say, Lord, thank You, praise God, I love You. I thank You for forgiving me. I thank You for loving me. I thank You for sending Your Son to die for me on the cross of Calvary, shedding His blood for an old wretch like me. Amen. I didn't deserve it. But I'm glad I didn't get, Brother Jeff, what I deserved. If we had got what we deserved, we'd be in hell. But God loved us, praise God. And He made a way. Amen. He said, love the Lord thy God with all your heart and all thy soul and with all the mind. In other words, they said, we got to love Him with our thinking and our understanding. Amen. Love Him because He did first love us. Amen. Love Him because we get to thinking about and thinking about how good He is to us. I tell you, I can't even thank the Lord every day for how good He is to me. I've talked to several people this week about just the breath that we breathe, how we breathe out and we breathe in, and we don't even have to think about it. Said the other day, you get to thinking about breathing, you'll suffocate yourself to death. Amen. When you start trying to do it by yourself. Amen. Some of these people that's had COVID stuff, they know what I'm talking about. Some of these people that have bronchitis and COPD and things like that, they know what I'm talking about. When you get in a situation, you start struggling to get your breath, you start thinking about your breathing. But praise God, I'm glad that we've got a God that's there with us. He gives us every breath that we breathe. He breathes us in, He breathes us out. And one day in a little while, praise God, we'll breathe out that last breath on this planet, in this world. And as a child of God, praise God, we'll take the next one in the portals of glory. Amen. Praise God, in the presence of a thrice holy God. We'll be there with those that's gone on before. They'll say, welcome home, young and welcome home. Lord Jesus Christ will take us by our hand. He'll lead us in there. And there'll be a great announcement. He said, hey, look, young'uns, look who made it here this morning. Glory, hallelujah. And we'll gather around. Folks will gather around. Boy, they'll slap us on the back. They'll say, praise God, I'm glad you're here. Amen. You say, you've got a vivid imagination. Praise God, it's all right. Just leave me alone. Amen. Praise God, I look in the portals of glory and I see the blessed hope that God give us. Praise God, these folks are waiting for us over there. Most of all, Jesus Christ Himself, who died for the sins of the world. He'll be there. Amen. Praise the Lord. But we see what God's telling us here. He says, this is the first and great commandment. Verse 39. He's second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Amen. Now this is the commandments of God. And He said, on these two commandments. Now commandments mean that it means that they're not suggestions. Hello? These are not suggestions. These are commandments. This is what God says we must do. Amen. He said we need to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all of our mind. And He just second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Amen. So where does critical racism come in here? Critical race there, where does it play out in this text? I want to say it won't play out nowhere. It don't work and it's not biblical. When we start separating people because of their color and because of who they are, then we turn our back on the truth of the Word of God. Amen. Amen. Praise God. God loves us all. Yet red, yellow, black, or white, praise God. He loves us. They're all precious in His sight. Amen. He loves us. He cares for us. And you say, well, preacher, these are just a whole lot of things that we have problems with, praise God. That's because they don't know the Lord. Amen. Praise God, if they knew the Lord and the free pardon of sin, praise God, things would be better. You know who's messed up, you know who's let down, you know who's failed, we have. God hasn't failed, praise God. He's still doing business, saving sinners. But praise God, it's our responsibility to be missionaries for Him to go into the field, the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in that they might get the gospel, the word of truth. So these foolish ideals can be put out of their mind. So is critical racism biblical? No. It's not biblical. What does Jesus say about it? He says that we're supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves. Amen? That we're supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves. You say, preacher, how do I do that? He gives us an example in Luke chapter number 10. Luke chapter number 10 and verse 25. The Lord gives this example. He said, behold, a certain lawyer. Luke 10 and 25. He says, behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said to him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answered and said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he willing to justify himself. Ain't they so many in the world trying to justify themselves in their own sight, in their own eyes? He said, but he willing to justify himself said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Now I can see this old fella, as he asked Jesus this, and Jesus gives him an answer, and he answers, he's got the principle, the idea of the thing. But in order to justify himself, he asked him, who is my neighbor? Just who are they? How far down the street do I have to go? Amen. Is it the person that lives close to me, or the one at the very end of my street? Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So much for religion. There's a whole lot of people that's got religion, but they wouldn't help you if you was dying. Amen? I'm just being honest. I know how we are. There's a lot of selfish people in this world. You know why our young folks are falling away? Because of selfishness. We brought them up to be selfish and rebellious. And they're selfish. They're self-centered. They don't think about nobody but themselves. That's why they don't want to be part of a church. They don't want to help nobody because it would take away from them. He said, by chance there came a certain priest that way, and he saw him and passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at that place, came and looked on him and passed by on him. Now that priest looked from the other side, didn't even walk across the street. Seen him laying there, didn't even walk across the street to see what was going on. They looked at him, saw him, and went on. That's what religion without God will do. He said, then this Levi, now Levi's a type of the law. The law come to where he was and looked on him, seen his shape, and went on, passed on, left him there. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Now this Samaritan's type of those that are looked down on, they were a type that was a half-breed. They was isolated and alienated. They was the part of the world that we would think, amen, that was undesirable. But this Samaritan had compassion on him. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine and setting him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, so that whole day, he dedicated to take care of this stranger that he found beaten and mutilated on the side of the road. And said, on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Amen. He took out of his own pocket because he had compassion, because there was love in his heart. Amen. I want to say love changes things. Amen. Because of love in his heart, he took out 2 pence, he gave it to him. He said, when I come this way again, he said, you keep a record, you keep up with it. And he said, if I owe you anything more, he said, I'll pay. He said, just take care of him. And then Jesus asked the question. He said, and which now of these 3 thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? Which one was neighborly? Which one showed the love of God? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. And Jesus said unto him, go and do thou likewise. Amen. So we see this thing, praise God. We see that critical race theory is contrary to everything that God teaches us. Amen. It's not biblical. If it's not biblical, the Bible says that we ought to flee from it. Run from it. Amen. Stand against it. Stand upon the Word of God. What does Jesus say? Jesus said we need to love our neighbors, no matter what color they are. Amen. Give them the gospel, Lord Jesus Christ, and they'll become our friends. They'll become our brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. We want peace. Hey, let me just stop here. We were all raised in a different era, okay? Amen. Some of us was raised different.
Amen.
Some of us was raised with thoughts and beliefs, and I'll just say it, we're contrary to the Word of God. We grew up in a status where we looked down our nose on certain peoples. Brother Bill said it best one day. He said there was an old fellow that had long hair and didn't smell good. And he said, I passed him by and didn't think about it. He said, God smote his heart. He said, that fellow could be you. He said, it changed the way I thought about people. He said, it ain't about that person and the way he looks. He may be that person look the way he did because he don't have Jesus in his heart. He said, it changed my attitude. Amen. It changed my want to, my direction. He said, I want to tell people about the Lord, everybody, that they might know Jesus and the free pardon of sin. That they might have the same opportunities that I have. I want to say, young and Jesus said, praise God, if we'll love our neighbor, praise God, and we'll come alongside and we'll help where we can, that everyone can have the same opportunities that you and I have. We ought to want that for them. We want to see them do good. You say, well, preacher, I know. Jesus said himself, he said, the poor you have with you always. There's some people that just ain't going to put forth no effort. Amen? And he said, there are always going to be people that's poor. I would say, but you got to be careful, though. There's people that claim to be poor that's making thousands and thousands of dollars a day by begging. Amen? Amen? They're making big money. Fellow said yesterday, said he's the fellow that's begging said he was bragging, he makes $4,000 a week. That's a pretty good take home, no taxes. Said he fell on hard times though because of this COVID stuff. Said he's not been getting but about $3,500 a week because this COVID really affected him. Amen. But Jesus said, the poor you always have with you. He said, but praise God, we can help where we can. Systematic critical race theory, praise God, is not biblical. Can God use that? Can He use critical race theory? I want to say He already is. Amen. He's already using that because He's used it to get our attention. He's used it to show us, praise God, that what is right and what is wrong. Amen. He showed us, praise God, that we need to love each other. We need to love our families. We need to love our countrymen. We need to love our country and our nation. We need to love our people, praise God. We need to uplift them. We need to support them. The Lord said that we need to love our neighbor. Encourage them, praise God. God's using that. Should we be concerned about it? We are concerned about it. We're all concerned about it. I've been studying, researching this stuff for several weeks. It's been here for several months. I mean, it's been prominent for weeks. And we're looking at it, we're seeing it as it is. And it's the devil's propaganda to push upon us to try to get us to get discouraged and quit. But it's God Almighty that you, praise God, could use it to get our attention and show us that He is a better way. That we need to just love each other. Need to encourage each other as we press on toward the mark. We're seeing God using it in a mighty way. Amen. And we need to let Him use it. How do we do it? How do we become partakers? By loving our neighbor as ourselves. By encouraging each other, loving each other, helping each other. Amen. Being there for each other in the days. This little church, we are so blessed. Amen. We are so blessed. It's unreal. We help each other. I know last summer some people had good crops, some people didn't. And we just gathered up what we had and we just took it and dispensed it wherever there was something that needed. We just took it. That's what we do. Because that's what Jesus would have us do. He loves us, youngins. He wants us to love each other. He wants us to love our fellow man. He wants us to help where we can. Amen. This mess is it's wrong. It's not biblical. But God Almighty gives us a biblical principle in which we can build our lives. Concerned, yes. Very concerned. But God Almighty is still on the throne. And what we need to do is be able to fall on our face and pray and say, God, forgive me an old sinner. And Lord, instill the love of God deep in my heart that I can love my fellow man. Amen. Love my neighbor even as I love myself. Praise His holy name. God does that. Theories won't do it. Philosophies won't do it. Critical thinking won't do it. But God Almighty, His precious Word of God. And let me just say this morning. They want to take this away from us. Part of their thinking is we've got to get rid of Christianity. We've got to get rid of the Word of God. Well, they just call it an old book. They said, we've got to get rid of that old archaic book called the Bible. And we got to get away. We got to get rid of church and churches and Christianity. I hate to say it, but it's working. But there's a few little places, just like this, where men and women are standing upon the truth of the Word of God, looking the devil in the eye and saying, "This is what thus saith the Word of God."